Hello and welcome to another episode of the Bearded Mystic Podcast, and I'm your host, Rahul N. Singh. Thank you for taking out the time today to either watch or listen to this podcast episode. Today we're going to be continuing on with the series called Wisdom of the Mystics, and today is a bit of a special one, and I'll let you know in a minute. Today is a special episode for me personally, but before I get there are a few important announcements I want to let you know about. Please give your support to the Bearded Mystic Podcast by signing up to the podcast Patreon page for ad-free and bonus episodes and other benefits like merch, like the t-shirt that I'm wearing, depending on the tier that you select. Details are in the show notes and video description below. Every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, there is a free virtual meditation session along with discussion and Q&A. Please find the details in the show notes and video description below if you're interested in meditating with us as a community. If you have any questions, you can ask them in the new series Direct and Unfiltered with the Bearded Mystic. More information is in the show notes and video description below. Please like, comment and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. If you are listening to this on your favorite podcast streaming app, please give this a 5-star rating and review the podcast, and do follow or subscribe to get future episodes. So last month, we did look at the teachings of Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a great Buddhist monk who we learned a lot from. Today, we will be looking at the teachings of my guru, the one that showed me this formless awareness very directly. And we'll be looking at his teachings, Satguru Baba Hardev Singh Ji. And on February 23rd, it was his 69th birth anniversary. So happy birthday, Babaji. And as usual, I'll go through some quotes and give you my thoughts on them. And then I may share an experience or two with you. Quote one, to be human is to be humble. To be humble is to be divine. Now, humility is such a quality I find which is not utilized enough in spirituality. It's always a race that either to get to enlightenment or to know more, or who has the better capability and ability to memorize the scriptures, you know, little things like that. And even though we may start off on the path with great humility, but eventually what we find is there is a certain arrogance that steeps in. And even having arrogance of knowledge, or being egoic about knowledge, or having access to a particular guru, I think sometimes that can be detrimental to the spiritual practice, to the spiritual sadhana that we have. So Babaji is really right here when he says to be human is to be humble. I think one of the basic traits of being a human being is being humble. He once did say that you don't be humble where you're a doormat and you let people walk all over you. In fact, to be humble, you also need to be alert. And as human beings, we are blessed with alertness. We have that capability to be alert, to make sure nobody is messing around with us. That's our vivek. That's our discernment. When we see that somebody's taking advantage of us, or somebody's trying to snatch our rights, of course, we must speak up. We must take action. And again, those actions will be based on spiritual values. Being human is being humble. Very simple. And it's a simple teaching, but again, how difficult is it to actually be humble? Now think about it. If you're at work in the corporate environment, it's expected that you will be part of the rat race. You will look to get one up over the other person, or you will look to beat the other person in your sales targets or something like that. And yet, if you want a position, you have to prove your worth. And really, it's not about your ability. It's really about your networking skills. To network, you need to sell yourself. You need to sell your skills, your capabilities. And therefore, in a way, it's always a humble brag, so to speak. If we think about it, to be human is to be humble. That is a very difficult thing to do. But when you look into your natural state, actually just being a human being, there's natural humility there. What does a human being have to be arrogant about? If one has a greater intellect, so what? In a few decades, can one guarantee that one's memory will remain the same? Can one guarantee that one's intellectual prowess will remain? Can we guarantee that our networking skills will be the same? Probably not. We can't guarantee these things. So to be humble is the most human thing to do. And then Babaji continues to say that to be humble is to be divine. Like naturally, just being a human being is basically being divine. And Lord Buddha said the same thing, literally. So if you look at that quote, although very simple, it's extremely difficult to actually do. But it's because we try to do it as an action, as something to practice, we miss out. In fact, if we understand that humility is a natural byproduct of spiritual practice, or a discovering that we get when we are in spiritual practice, it's no longer something we have to put effort into. Or if in the beginning we have to put effort in, eventually it will become effortless. So Babaji's teachings is very true here. Like, just to be humble is to be divine. Now think about it. The greatest mystics that we know have this immense humility. They call themselves servants or das. You know, you see Christ washing the feet of his disciples. You hear of Kabirji referring himself to das. You hear the same of Ravidasji. He says the same thing. My guru often used to refer to himself as das. Those are traits that I would love to implement. And one thing I do find missing in my life is sometimes being humble. What we can understand from this quote from Babaji is that if you want to be human, if you want to have divine traits to reach the state of a devta, then just be humble. And if you think about it, as formless awareness, what identity do you have? So what is there to brag about? Yeah. So that's a subtle thing we have to think about and understand. The second quote we're looking at, Babaji says that if you cannot be a candle, be a mirror that reflects the light. I found this quote to be quite interesting. Interesting for many reasons. One, he says, if you cannot be a candle, he understands from a base level that not everyone's going to go straight to enlightenment. Most of us, when we go to a spiritual place, we're casual seekers. We are going there maybe because our parents went there, or because we have a good social group there. It's a good community. You know, wherever we go in terms of our spiritual satsang or place of worship or to the temple or whatever. And what we find is that we know literally that liberation is probably the most difficult thing to achieve. So how can I get to liberation? How can I be that self-illuminating light that I am? How can I discover that? How can I get there? How can I actually accept that that is the only thing that is? Because one of the things that Babaji blessed me with was this Brahmgyan, this knowledge of Brahman, this knowledge of the ultimate reality of formless awareness. And he gave it in a very direct manner. And I'll probably go into that in my experience. But this saying is literally that so many people probably received the same knowledge that I did. And how many of them actually have retained it? And it's a question that I think about myself. Like, I could have easily not retained this knowledge. What I mean by retaining is not simply I received the knowledge and then, you know, I think about it now and then. That's not retention. Retention is when it's continuing. And you're always alert about it. But Babaji here makes a concession that, okay, you may not be a candle, but you can be a mirror that reflects the light. So for example, you can be a mirror that reflects your guru's teachings. You can be a mirror that reflects Brahman, this formless awareness. It's not impossible for us to be a mirror. And what's interesting is that when you're being a mirror that reflects the light, you'll automatically realize that you were always the candle in the first place. And that is the beauty of Babaji's teachings that I found. He often used to say in his discourses that read between the lines. And there's a reason for that. Even with, you know, when I do the Bhagavad Gita sessions, when I answer questions in general, I try to think what's being said in between the lines. When I read a scripture, when I read a book, I think about what's being said in between the lines. I'm trying to read between the lines because that's the way Babaji literally trained me to think. And because of that, I probably find that I gather a lot more insights than I would have if I just listened and carried on. So even with this podcast, or any podcast that you listen to, or any YouTube video you watch, read between the lines, think about what's being said, try to grasp that which is asking to be grasped as the wisdom. If you can't be a candle of wisdom, of knowledge, at least be a mirror that reflects that light. Indirectly, you will have to practice the teachings. The third quote, "The formless should be in our heart, even when our hands are at work." I really love this. And the reason for why I love this saying is because it literally is about life. Now, I can't remember the formless awareness at all times. I can't always be in awareness. But what can I do? You know, I have to work. I have to drive to work. I have to work on the laptop. I have to look at spreadsheets. I have to look at different plan documents. I have to analyze things. I have to communicate with other people. I have to spend time with my family. I have my responsibilities to do. And what Babaji is saying here is that the formless should be in your heart, even when your hands are at work. So even though you're working, even though you're doing some sort of activity, even though you're earning your daily bread, just remember that the formless is literally within your heart and doesn't leave. With that direct perception that, you know, that aparoksha knowledge, what you get, that direct understanding of what the formless is. So once you have that understanding, that formless awareness is the only thing, what is left to think about? And this is the true essence of Karma Yoga too, that Sri Krishna talks about, that you will do your action, but remember the formless should be in your heart. Now, if the formless is in the heart, is there going to be any doership when we're working, when we're doing the action? No. And that's the beauty. So what we've got to understand here is that even though we'll do our daily work, even though we'll do our activities that we do on a daily basis or a weekly basis, but the formless should be in our heart. So this is very important, to remain in awareness as much as we can. And whenever we're at work, say we're deeply into working and maybe we've lost track of time, the moment you take a sip of water or a sip of your coffee, or you stop studying for a bit, pause and observe that the formless awareness is present. That's all you have to do. The fourth quote is, "Our belief in the formless turns into faith in the formless when we realize this formless." This is an interesting one. Now, if you think about it, everything starts with belief. I believe in a God. I believe in a guru. I believe in the scripture. I don't know if the scripture is true. I don't know if what the guru is teaching me is true. I don't know if God is real or not. I don't know these things. So it's all a belief in the beginning. It's more or less we do things out of ignorance. We have a statement and we go with it without knowing it at all. Now, Babaji adds a very big distinction. And people think that just knowing about God is enough. But Babaji here is very clear. He says, our belief in the formless turns into faith in the formless when we realize this formless. So the prerequisite, the most important thing here, is that we must realize the formless. When we realize this formless, then our belief turns into faith. Then our faith is unbreakable. You could use faith or trust here. I'm using these synonymously. Because once you know, and once you realize that there is only the formless, there's automatic faith. You don't have to build something in. And it's not done out of ignorance. It's done out of vivek, out of the wisdom of knowing what is real and unreal. We know that this world is unreal. We know this. So if we know that this world is unreal and we have to transcend the world, we have to transcend this changing phenomena, then that means the changeless is the ultimate reality. This formless is the ultimate reality. Now, once we know that, once we've fully integrated that wisdom, that is realization. So we have to turn our belief into faith. There's no point having ignorance. Now, to do this, we have to utilize our intellect. One of the things that I have found in spirituality is this lack of intellect. Now, what people don't understand is, yes, we are meant to transcend the intellect when we have realized the formless. But to know the formless, intellect must be utilized. And our intellect has to be strong. And like I said, our intellect has to be strong on this point. That this formless is the only thing. This formless is omnipresent. And everything else is changing, is therefore unreal. Simple. Nothing complicated. So this is the way to have faith, is the realization of this formless. And fifth quote, realization of the formless is the key to living a blissful life. This is really true. I would even attest to this, that if we want to live a blissful life, it comes from realizing what the formless is. It's actually integrating that formless awareness into our life. Once we enter that blissful state, why is it blissful? Because we understand that there is only this one pure existence of pure consciousness. So being blissful is natural. And remember, blissfulness is beyond happiness and sadness. Babaji also used to say that bliss is true happiness that goes beyond the senses. And I think that is really true. How can we live a blissful life? Is by going beyond our senses. Blissfulness is something that is continuous. It's always here. It's not something that disappears. You know, often we say after having a good meal, oh, that was blissful. Or we have a good time, we say that was blissful. And then the next minute, someone steps on our foot and suddenly our bliss leaves. But what Babaji is saying, that shouldn't happen. If we want a blissful life, then what do we need to do? Realize the formless. This is the ultimate thing. Not knowing the formless. Knowing is the first step. The second step is the integration of the formless. And that leads to realization of the formless. We have to integrate this wisdom into our life. And we have to be fully aware and integrate that formless awareness in all parts of our life. As Babaji said in the previous quote, that while our hands are at work, we need to keep this formless in our heart. That's exactly what we need to do. So if you want to have a blissful life, if I want to have a blissful life, it has to be done in the realization of the formless. And one thing I will say here is this is made easier when you have a guru. Now, I know that there's a Gita GPT. I know that there's Chat GPT. I know that there are YouTube gurus out there. But the personal interaction of having a guru really speeds up the realization of the formless. That is something I can guarantee with my experience. to speed up that process to living a blissful life. You know, find a guru, find a teacher that will personally help you get to where you need to go to. The one thing that I asked Babaji was, I want to be enlightened. I don't want to be in ignorance. I don't want to come back again on this earth. I want Jivan Mukti. And I'm not going to say whether I've got there or not. That's not for me to declare, and I don't really care about declaring it. But all I can say is that the process is a lot easier because of the teachings and the guidance that I personally got from Babaji. His presence helped me. I cannot say that that can be replicated in any other way. You know, people think that you can read a scripture and get there. Yeah, the scripture has that wisdom. But it is the guru that unlocks the key and shows you what it is directly. And that's the importance, is that knowledge, that wisdom, that gyan that gets you there. And the guru is a perfect embodiment of that gyan, of that wisdom. So that's one thing that really helped me. And, you know, I don't know if I'm always living, well, life is always blissful. Whether I understand I'm living a blissful life, I don't know if that's happening all the time. And really, I pray that if you're in the same boat as me, that we're able to understand that life is really blissful. And if it isn't happening, maybe have that understanding, that integration, that realization, so we can be in that state all the time. Then the sixth quote is, greatness is a virtue of wisdom, not age. This is very true. And again, a simple statement, but it packs a lot in. If we think that we can be Mahan, if we think we can be great, if we think we can be a saint or a sage, it's a virtue of wisdom, of integrating that wisdom. Not age. You can be 70 years old. You can be 80 years old, 100 years old. You can be 50. You can be 40. That doesn't mean you will become wiser. You know, they do say as you get older, you get wiser. I don't think that's true. And I think you only get wiser when you deepen your understanding of life, when you actually really investigate what life's really about. What is my purpose in life? What is my origin in life? One of the things that Babaji said that triggered me to understand that I wasn't integrating this wisdom, this gyan, was he once said, you know, apna mool pehchan, that understand what your origin is. And once I thought about that, I was like, yeah, I don't know what my origin is. So I went on that investigation. And that's what led me into the rabbit hole of discovering everything. And that's been my 13 years of being a seeker. And 13 years continuing. It hasn't stopped at all. So that's another thing we need to understand, is that I would say as you get older, you have less time, so you better do more in spiritual practice and spiritual sadhana. So I think it's the opposite, where you do more things that are concentrated. So your meditation is a lot more concentrated. Even though I may meditate for 5 minutes, I will try to pack 30 minutes of meditation in 5 minutes. That level of intensity. I will say to my mind, look, you only have 5 minutes, and it's either 5 minutes or 30 minutes. Which one do you want? Mind will always say 5 minutes. And okay, we go straight into that meditation. And so the moment I close my eyes, I'm in that awareness of formless awareness. And that's the key. So the thing is, you find these little ways of tricking the mind. But my point is that as you get older, you have to do more. And I think naturally, as I've got older, I'm 35, I'm going to be 36 this year. And my whole journey in spirituality has only got deeper. I've only wanted to know more. I don't want to live a day where I'm not contemplating on spirituality. It's something I think about continuously. Yes, I have a wife who I love tremendously, who I care for tremendously. I have a family that I love and care for. I have friends that I adore. I have a job to go to. You know, a pay packet to earn. I have to do all those things. But the thread that binds them all together into a perfect harmony is my spiritual practice. Because I don't see these things as being different to the spiritual practice. I see them as part of my spiritual practice. And that's the teaching that Babaji gave. And maybe something I grasped very early on. And that's what I mean. The association with a guru is so important. That these are little things that you pick up when I would listen to his discourses. But if I didn't pick those things up, then obviously, as I got older, I'm definitely not going to be wiser. I mean, that's just a natural occurrence. I mean, basically, the way I see it is, I shouldn't get a midlife crisis. So this is the thing, you know, Babaji often used to say that, you know, every saint will get remembered. Every sage will get remembered. Why can't you be that? And he would always have that question. And those are the things that really empowered me as a young boy, that's exactly what I wanted to go for. If you really want to be remembered for the right reasons, then we have to utilize wisdom. And wisdom is only one thing, is understanding, integrating, and realizing this formless. Then the seventh quote, there is no religion greater than perceiving the formless face to face. Now, when Babaji would say things like this in his discourses, it was so direct. And when I would think of his voice when he would say things like this, it would give me, and still gives me, goosebumps. Seeing, you know, this is like similar thing that Swami Vivekananda got from Sri Ramakrishna. This very quote, this very saying, this very line literally is the way. I'm not Swami Vivekananda, nowhere near him. But it's that trigger that young Narendra heard from Sri Ramakrishna. And this young Rahul also heard those very words, that there is no religion, no path greater than perceiving the formless face to face. That this formless should be the only face that is seen. These were the teachings that Babaji gave me. How can I do that? How can I get there? One was, I had to ask for it. I can't just simply expect that this wisdom will be given to me, or by my birthright, I will understand this. No. I have to ask for it. I have to desire it. I have to really want it more than anything. And it should be the only thing that you ask the guru for. Now, the guru may ask you, Babaji was always nice in terms of, he would ask how our personal life was and how it was going and making sure that we were happy in our personal lives. And that's because in his eyes, there is no difference between personal life and spiritual life. But I think we as devotees sometimes differentiated between the two. And that obviously is our perception. But Babaji saw them as one. And that's why when I think about it, seeing this formless, perceiving this formless in everything as the only thing, and, you know, understanding that it is that awareness that is always present. That is so true. There's no religion greater. In fact, you don't have to call yourself a Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Buddhist, Jain, anything. Because once you perceive the formless face to face, what religion do you belong to then? What spiritual institution do you belong to then? You can't. The formless belongs to no individual spiritual organization or institution or religion. It's beyond that. And what Babaji is saying here is that the ultimate point of religion, the ultimate purpose of religion, is to perceive the formless face to face. If it's not doing that, then what are we doing? That's the ultimate question. What are we doing? Are we just going somewhere because, like I said earlier, is it because of other reasons other than our true desire to seek and understand and perceive this formless face to face? For example, it should be as clear as when you look in the mirror and you see yourself, it should be as clear as that you see the formless. And Babaji guaranteed that the wisdom that he gave would get us there. As long as we walked the path, as long as we took the steps to truly integrate our life into the teachings. If we still differentiated our life to the teachings, we were not going to advance spiritually. And I'll even say this, that if religion is all about just following doctrines, having a new identity or another identity, having another label, it's not worth it. Because it takes you away from that which you should be seeking. While you're trying to defend your religion is running away already. And your religion should be perceiving the formless face to face. Here, it's all about integrating that formless awareness into our daily life. And that wherever we go, we're in this awareness because we cannot escape it. Why cannot we escape it? Because it's omnipresent. It's the only thing present. So again, this was a great teaching that Babaji gave, and one that I'm truly, truly grateful for. And if there's one thing that Babaji offered to everybody, whoever wanted it, whoever desired it, whoever sought it, it was this. And if there was any purpose to his life, it was this statement that there is no religion greater than perceiving the formless face to face. And I used to see it in him that whenever you talked about the formless, he would be so happy. The smile he would have on his face, the smile that every devotee would give everything for. It happened when you spoke about the formless, when you spoke about spirituality, when you spoke about wanting this wisdom, desiring this wisdom. If there's one thing that he gave me, that was it. And everything has been a byproduct of that. Just perceiving this formless awareness as the only thing. And then the eighth quote, blissfulness is not a phase, but a state of being. And this is just really elaborating on what we learned earlier. Yeah, blissfulness is not a phase, as I mentioned earlier, that, oh, if you eat food, you're in bliss. If you attend a satsang or you go to a retreat, you have a good meditation, you feel bliss for a bit, and then after a while, you start getting back into the egoic pattern. No, blissfulness is a state of being. That's it. Or you could say it's a state of mind. It's always there, ever present. It never gets modified by anything. It never gets changed by anything. It's always there. It's the true meaning. You know, what I've talked about today literally is Satchitananda. You know, existence, consciousness, bliss. And life is to be experienced. Its existence is beautiful. Be aware, be in this awareness, perceive the formless face to face at all times. And blissfulness is a state of being. It's a state of mind that's continuous. So don't think of it as a phase. If you are feeling happy, well, the one way to differentiate between happiness and bliss is that if you're happy and then you go down to sadness, or if something breaks that happiness, or if something allows that happiness to fade away slowly, if you feel your happiness fading away, that means that it is not bliss. To be in bliss, you have to be high all the time. And it's not really that there's a high and low. It's like there's a centeredness that is unbreakable. And that's what you experience. The 9th quote, formless consciousness is formless remembrance. This is an interesting one too, because, and this will be the ending quote, because it's the ultimate thing that I talk about here on the podcast, is that formless awareness is being constantly in that formless remembrance. So being aware of being aware. And little did I know that Babaji had talked about that until I came across the quote a few days ago when I was creating the plan for this episode. And literally, the more you remember the formless, the more you are aware of the formless. And this is now when it's a perfect segue to go into the experiences, because from a young age, I remember once in Birmingham, Babaji was visiting, and I was probably 12 or 13, and I was with a friend, and I asked Babaji, will you give me the Brahm Gyan, this divine wisdom, this truth, in English, please? Because there's a certain process when they give this Gyan. And he, you know, looked at me, smiled and chuckled a little and just pulled my cheeks and just said, okay. He didn't do much. He just said that. And then years later, I was talking about remembering the formless and my challenges. For example, I found it very difficult to connect to the formless. And I was like, Babaji, is it okay that I think of a form? And can it be your form that I think of first and then lead into the formless? Similar to what we do in our Saturday meditation, when we utilize the Ishtavta, the sacred symbol or form or image. And with Babaji, I asked that question. And so I asked Babaji that question, you know, is it okay? And his words were, use whatever connects you to this formless. And then he looked at me with kind of like the sparkle in his eye, with a little bit of a smile. And he gave a gesture with his hands. And he moved his hands a little bit. And he just said, the purpose is to remain aware of this formless at all times. And it was in that moment, in that gesture that he did with his hands, that it all just clicked for me and started making sense. And I realized that at that moment, he was fulfilling my wish that I wanted the wisdom from him. Because at that moment, all I could be in was the awareness of the formless. He was the catalyst. He was the one that truly made it easier for me. If anything, he made it easier for me. The easiest thing to do, literally, is to be aware of the formless. And that is the greatest gift he gave to me. And the gift that I will never be able to repay him for, other than just living this. That's the only way I can repay. And, you know, I love him for that. And like I mentioned, having a guru is important, and especially when you're facing difficult times. And for me, his presence meant so much. His text messages or his phone call or even his embrace later when we met in person, when my brother passed away. And even in prior to that, just the support as my brother was terminally ill, and, you know, that whole process. Without Babaji, it would have been very difficult. I don't think I would have been able to get out of the grief as easier as it was. His support really helped me. His guidance, his words, his actions, you know, like I mentioned, the hug that he would give. Those moments is what gives me strength even today. Now, today he's no longer in his physical form. And, you know, losing him was one of the most difficult and darkest times of my life. I don't think I've ever faced anything like it, and I don't think I ever will. And he was like my best friend, literally. Like I could share anything with him, and losing him was difficult. I was never prepared for it. Yet he did prepare me. He prepared everybody. And he did that by saying, concentrate on the formless, focus on the formless, be aware of the formless. He was giving us the eternal. And I shared this once with friends that he once quoted Mahatma Buddha when he said, stop looking at the finger that's pointing to the moon. Start looking at the moon. And again, like I said, I heard that when I was 16, 17 years old. And it left an impression on me that indirectly, I would be always concentrating on the formless. And that's Babaji's biggest contribution for me, was one, allowing me to be gifted with this wisdom, this Brahm Gyan. And most of all, giving me the steps, the methods, the practices, the help, the guidance. The personal presence, it helped me so much. And, you know, it's not just me, there's many that can attest to that. And one thing that I will say, and which is very important, is that he literally loved everybody. One of the greatest things he embodied was love. He loved everybody unconditionally. And I never saw ever any condition in his love. But there was a condition with his closeness. His love was the same for everyone. But his closeness was with those that truly practice spirituality. And I think that's the case for every spiritual teacher. If a spiritual teacher is gaining a distance from us, maybe we're not valuing that personal presence. Maybe we're not valuing that personal time. That is limited. That guru is in a form. And although Babaji gave his time unconditionally, I wonder whether we utilized him as much as we could have. Yes, his love was there, but the closeness was only there if we concentrated on the formless. And that's something that I found in my life, that the closer I got to the formless, and this is what a good friend told me, that the more you focus on the formless, watch how Babaji gets closer to you. And that happened in my life. And that for me is the hallmark of a guru, that they will give you that personal presence. So if you have a guru, utilize them. Ask spiritual questions. Give your all to spirituality, because that is the greatest use of a spiritual teacher. And that is where I would like to end the episode. But it's been an honor. And like I said, when you talk about your own guru, there's a certain joy that comes from that. And there's a certain joy, a certain peace, a certain calmness that you get from it. And if I am what I am today, whatever quality you may see in me, it's all because of Babaji, or because of Sadhguru Baba Hardev Singh Ji. And I thank you, Babaji, eternally for this and for the continuous presence of the Sadhguru. So that is the end of the episode. Please do share this podcast with your friends and family who may enjoy this content. Do follow me on social media to keep getting updates, or join the Bearded Mystic Podcast WhatsApp community group to continue the podcast discussion. Details are in the show notes and video description below. If you would like to support the Bearded Mystic Podcast, do check out the podcast Patreon page. The details are in the show notes and video description below. Please rate this podcast 5 stars, and you can post a review either on the podcast app that you listen to, or you can do it on www.thebeardedmysticpodcast.com. Please do like and comment on this video and subscribe to this YouTube channel. And please follow, subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast streaming app. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll end with the Soham and Shanti Mantra. Soham, Soham, I am that, Om Shanti, 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 Om Peace, 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 Namaste, and Dhan Namaskar.